Joining us now, our regular guest political commentators, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the Weekly Standard. Welcome to both of you once again.
Good to be here.
Let me ask you this. What's wrong with this picture? We just heard a story about what sounds like a fairly scandalous lapse of the Securities and Exchange Commission. We can expect that the airwaves of the weekend newsmaker shows are going to be burning up with this story. And if the year so far is any guide, we can expect it to have roughly zero effect on American voters. What's going on in this country? David Brooks.
Well, the country's tied, and it's been tied for 6 or 7 years, and nothing can change that. We've had a war. We've had a recession. We've had a boom. We've had two presidencies. We are in the sixth year of World War I, and we are in our trenches.
You know, what's interesting, the other way to look at this is that the president, after September 11th, had a real opening to realign the country and break the 50-50 tie, and that didn't happen. And the question is, why didn't that happen? And I think certainly one of the reasons is that the economic difficulties combined with these corporate scandals took people who might have moved more toward the Republican Party and pushed them back, so that the tie could be an indication that events such as this, essentially the head of the SEC having to have himself investigated over an appointment, took what was an opportunity for the Republicans and restored the situation pretty much exactly as it existed before September 11th.
But if issues like Iraq, which is shorthand for saying, should the country go to war soon, and should it do it either alone or wait for an alliance to be built instead, or corporate scandals, if these things don't seem to shift the balance very much, one could say that means that the balance is so closely divided because of real divisions in American society.
Well, I do think there are real differences, both along demographic lines, obviously black, white, men, women. Iraq is a very interesting case because we were a month ago talking about how Iraq was going to help the Republicans in this election. It probably did help the Republicans by diffusing some of these economic and corporate scandal issues. I've been struck being out in the country, and there's some polling to support this, that the war is not working strongly for them because while there is general opposition to Saddam Hussein, there isn't strong support for this war. I was in South Dakota a week ago. John Thune, the Republican candidate, running as the candidate of patriotism and George Bush's man, a Republican in South Dakota, saying in a debate, well, of course, we'd prefer not to have to go to war. And so I think there's kind of reluctance here, even though obviously in the end, if we went to war, the president would get some support. But there's great doubt about this.
David Brooks?
Yeah, I've come to regard this as the last election campaign of the 20th century, that we have these issues like the America's role in the world, globalization, global warming, entitlement reform. All those issues are in front of us. But they are not essentially being tackled in this campaign. We're back in the traditional issues, big tax, big spend, Social Security privatization, this or that. But this is sort of, we are just stuck at the end of an era, an end of an argument about big government versus small government.
Well, listen, this is the last time we're going to hear from you two gentlemen before Election Day. And months ago here, we asked what would be very interesting races to look at and to be aware of when the campaign was just beginning, as far as the public was concerned. As the campaign is just about to end, what are the most interesting races that you're thinking about? First, David.
I have a sort of odd one, the Georgia Senate race.
This is Max Cleland's race for re-election.
I was going to name that one, too.
Well, my reason for naming it is that there are a lot of sort of moderate Democrats who are facing tough Republican attacks or assaults. And it'll be curious to me whether those moderate Democrats can hang on, whether you can be a moderate Democrat in this day and age. And there are probably six of them at least, and beat off the voters who might think, I'm conservative. I'm so conservative, I'm a Republican.
So since David took the Max Cleland race, what's another win for you, EJ?
The race I've spent time watching is South Dakota, because I don't think there's a state in which the president and the administration have put as much effort. They recruited John Thune to beat Tim Johnson. It's at some level a face-off between Tom Daschle, the senior senator from the state, and the president. They said it wasn't intentional, happened to campaign this week in Tom Daschle's hometown of Aberdeen. If there's a place where the president should have coattails, it's in South Dakota.
He carried the state in 2000.
And he carried the state by better than 3-2.
And Tim Johnson is the Democratic incumbent.
And I think, you know, we talk about how the voters, there aren't clearly drawn lines. Part of the problem with this election is that there are a lot of places where there is no real election. Because of reapportionment, there are so few actually competitive districts. There are a handful of competitive Senate races. But when you go into a state such as South Dakota, such as Minnesota, where there is a real race, I think issues are drawn rather sharply, and I think voters are quite aware of the importance of the choice they're going to be making on Tuesday.
Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and also the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of The Weekly Standard.